It's episode 45 of the Canes Cast. You know what that means.
What's that?
We are getting closer to not having to hear who are the Canes going to draft.
Who are they going to draft?
Well, I can postulate an
answer. I mean, it's only like, yeah.
Well, by the time you hear this, it's either 17 or less days away from the NHL draft in Dallas, where Michael Smith will be holding down the fort. The Webs, Michael Smith, will be there making sure everything is A-OK and simpatico. So don't worry, fans. There will be a presence in Dallas.
Yes. Presence and presence, too.
And maybe accounted for as well.
Ooh. Look at that. Where will TV's Mike Maniscalco be?
I don't know yet.
Raleigh Beer Garden, maybe, for the draft party?
Sure, if they want me to be there. I have, at this point in time, received no official word of what I need to do.
If you haven't heard, fans, you can get your first official look at the Carolina Hurricanes' new third jersey at the Raleigh Beer Garden draft party there on Friday, June 22nd. The party will start at 6. Draft coverage begins at 7. We recommend you arrive as early as possible.
Yes.
The third jersey reveal will be sometime between 6 and 7.
Yes. So, and there'll be panel discussions. John Forslund will be there. Shane Willis will be there. There are rumors that I will be there.
It's going to be a surprise.
That's unconfirmed.
Just show up and see who's there.
Exactly. Speaking of seeing, though, have you gotten a look at the new third jersey?
Maybe.
Or under lock and key?
Maybe.
I've tried to sneak a peek here and there.
Maybe.
Exactly. That's where I'm at right now. I think people.
It's a question we've gotten for months. Like,
I know.
You know, when are the Hurricanes going to unveil a new jersey?
So we can tell you they're going to unveil a new jersey.
Yes. Yes,
and
we can.
Tell you that it will be a jersey that they'll wear on the ice.
Yes, that's also true.
There you go.
I believe 12 ties. There's a number that you have to hit.
I thought it was 11.
I think 11 or 12 is the minimum and like 14 is the max. There's not a huge range, but the Hurricanes, once the schedule comes out and once they nail down all the dates, will announce what dates they'll be wearing those jerseys this season. But your first official glimpse of them, you can see them in person at Raleigh Beer Garden on Friday, June 22nd. Should be a fun time.
And I can tell you that, in the words of Chuck Caton,
crowd noise only.
There'll be a lot of that.
Yes.
Thank you, by the way. We'll see. Yeah, you've been maybe, and I've been trying to sneak peeks.
Maybe.
I've heard it's around.
Maybe.
All right. I like that. The secret.
You know what else is happening at Raleigh Beer Garden? Soon, we're going to do a draft roundtable.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, for all the fans to see sort of a. I don't know if you guys remember what we did last year. We sat around a table and discussed what the Hurricanes would do. I don't know if any of us nailed exactly what was going to happen.
I didn't say he was going to be the pick, but I brought up the name.
Okay, there
you
go. You
go back and watch it. I go, there's an interesting name out here.
Yeah.
And remember, they don't tell us anything.
Yeah.
And we don't know
well,
anything.
Well, I went back and watched last year's just to kind of prepare for this year's, and I threw out the name Nick Suzuki.
Yep.
He got drafted by Vegas, so I was wrong.
I think you brought that up, and then I threw out, I go, hey, there's another name on the list. It's this, and I wasn't sure how to say it at the time, Marty Nachos's name, but he was the guy who was on the list. But I think I went with somebody else. I didn't pick him, but he was a name I threw out.
He was even, he's such an interesting one because, I've been looking back at some stuff from last year, what we did, what other teams did. And he was a name even the Flyers were throwing out in the conversation for at
number two. Pick, yeah.
So his range in the first round varied a lot. And I think the Hurricanes were more than pleased that he was still on the board there at 12. Yeah. Forgot there for a second where the Hurricanes were picking. They were supposed to pick at 11, but fell back because Philly jumped up. Maybe Nachos was one Philly was looking at originally at 12 before they jumped up to 2, obviously taking Nolan Patrick. But the Hurricanes extremely pleased that Nachos was there and should begin his career in North America this season. And I think we can expect some good things from Martin Nachos.
I 100% co-sign with that theory and that comment from Michael Smith.
But I think
from the web.
thank you. But I think the roundtable this year might be a little more focused, and I think we might nail who the pick's going to be.
Yeah.
Well, one of us. There are three of us, and I would say that in the realm of conversation, there are three players.
What I would like for that to be, and for people who will see it, we could have not a lively debate, but a very good debate on the merits of the players who are out there.
Because I think you can make an argument for all three.
Sure.
I don't know if
there's another player on the board who you could make an argument for, but the Carolina Hurricanes are stacked on the blue line with defensemen, and the only defenseman that I would see taking with that pick would be if, for whatever reason, the Buffalo Sabres go into a coma and do not draft Rasmus
Dahlin. If they just, like, fell asleep at the table and the clock ran off, and then the Hurricanes were like, oh, okay.
Okay, we'll take this guy.
This guy, please.
Done. That's the only defenseman I could see.
That would be
drafting.
A first.
But there's a couple of defensemen who people really like who are on the board, but they're not in the mix for this team because the Hurricanes do need offensive players, and there just happen to be three players who one right now is a cut above the rest, and that's what everybody thinks. And after the, you can call it whatever you want, the gym shorts Olympics, you know, however you want, up in Buffalo this past week where they had the draft combine, I don't know. We've talked with team president and GM Don Waddell about, does anybody move themselves up or move themselves down in this process? I think, what was it, Casey Mittelstadt last year did one pull-up, and that became the talk of the combine. The Sabres drafted him, and I think he scored three goals at the end of the year when they signed him, and he played. So
yeah, because, like, what does having to do a pull-up have to do with, you know, how many goals you can score?
Exactly. I don't see pull-up bars on the ice.
No,
so.
Not yet, at least.
No.
I mean, maybe competition committee talks about some things, and that's
no.
Maybe, like, after 3-on-3 overtime,
no.
You have a pull-up competition.
No.
And then shootout.
No, I don't want any of this. Just bring back ties. Don't make me go off on the rant.
See, I like having
We've
a winner and a loser.
We've talked about this before, but I'll bring it up again. What's wrong with a tie? What? Just tell me on the surface, if a game is worth 2 points and you have played 65 minutes, what's wrong with splitting the point? And I bring this up because the NHL uses the point system. Mm-hmm. If they just did straight wins and losses, then I'm with you. You have to have winners and losers. You can't have a tie.
Right.
But they're on a point system. Games are worth 2 points, Michael. And then when we go to overtime, a magic point just appears out of nowhere in the National Hockey League. Sorcerer Gary Bettman makes it happen. It's an illusion.
An extra point. That's where
he's like Doug Henning.
That's where I think the conversation for the third point comes into play. But then it just becomes kind of a mess in terms of the standings when you're trying to divide wins.
Then make games worth 3 points. A regulation win is worth 3 points. Why is that so hard?
Do you add then a column for overtime wins, sort of like in IIHF play where they have the
– Oh, I'm a big believer. If I win in overtime, I should get all of the points.
I think so, too.
I'm a believer in that. But
maybe a shootout win is worth two instead of three.
Yeah, that's where you split the point. All right, you did everything you could in an actual hockey game. Now it's time for the magic show. So here we go. The skills competition will split the points then.
Yeah, that seems fair.
That's all I'm looking for.
It would throw the record books off for, you know,
who
points.
Who cares, man? Who cares?
You can put rules change all the time.
There were only six teams up until the 60s, for goodness sake. So when people talk about the sanctity of the record book, it's already been ruined by this because you're awarding winning points when there were never winners in these games before. So you've already monkeyed around with the books. So, no, I'm sorry, Mike, and you and I generally are usually agreeable to things. I don't know why we have to have a winner or a loser when we have to invent a point if the game goes to overtime.
You're sending it back, and I'm taking it.
Ooh, okay. Well,
it's a little backdoor to that segment there.
Yeah, look at you. All right, I'm. Well done. Tip of the cap to you. Didn't think you would get there that fast, my friend.
We were talking about the draft roundtable, and we ended up on points.
Well, I know.
Anyway, look forward to the draft roundtable next
That's
week.
That's the spirited debate I hope that we can,
exactly.
We can bring to the table.
It'll be me, TV's Mike Maniscalco, obviously, and Shane Willis.
TV's and hockey teacher, mentor and friend. Shane Willis.
All around Hurricanes person, I guess you can say.
Of all of the Canadians I know, he is one of them.
Yes, and he's done pretty much, he's probably one of the few Hurricanes employees who has done basically everything you can as a Hurricanes employee.
Oh, yeah.
He's played hockey. He's coached it at some level.
Yep.
He instructs the youth.
He's on TV.
He's on TV.
Yeah. He's done it all. I think he sat in the
booth. He's a renaissance man.
I think he has sat in the booth with Chuck Hayton.
Right. Proud Noise Own Lab.
That's a rite of passage. You did that for a couple years? A year?
Just a year. Ish.
Second period?
Yep, second period only.
Proud Noise Own Lab.
Color commentary?
Yes, it was great.
Whenever you could fit in a word edgewise?
It was, for me, the highlight of my life. If you would have told me growing up, where I grew up, that I would be the color analyst for a hockey radio broadcast with a Hall of Fame voice, where do I sign? And I didn't have to sign anything. I just got to do it, which was great.
You just got to see if he'd let you in the in the booth.
I do believe there was one period where I said 8 words.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That might be. I might actually be on the over on that with the 8. Again, John Forslund with the greatest advice in the world for me on that. This is all you need to say with Chuck when you get a when he takes a breath. Absolutely right, Chuck. Great point, Chuck.
Yeah.
And buzz off, Chuck.
Did you ever? I don't think you ever said that on radio.
I never said buzz off, Chuck.
That would have made good radio, but I don't know if you would have been invited back.
I did correct him on it. He made a band reference, and I go, actually, it was this, Chuck. And he goes, well, it's good anyway. Back to the action.
That's awesome.
Vis-a-vis Jethro Tull.
Yeah, Jethro Tull.
Yeah, he's a big Tull fan, for those who do not know. All right, Michael, so while we went off on that rant, I kind of dragged us down that road. Yes, on the 11th, we will be at the Raleigh Beer Garden. We'll be filming a draft roundtable. There will be, are we going to call it a live edition of the Canes Cast?
I don't know if we can call it live, but we'll be on location.
Yeah, we'll
be
there.
The Canes Cast on location at Raleigh Beer Garden, probably with Shane as well.
Not really sure what time we're going to be doing that, though.
No.
Like, I would love to, I mean, seriously, I'd love to say, come on down to the Raleigh Beer Garden, get a beverage in the middle of the day, enjoy Michael, Shane, and I talking about hockey and the Canes Cast and the upcoming draft, but we don't have a – we know when we need to be there for one thing. We don't know how long that's going to take, and we can't have you take your entire day waiting for us to do the Canes Cast.
So it might be later on in the afternoon. So it might be a an evening podcast when it hits your subscription boxes. If you aren't subscribed, do so on iTunes and Google Play, and leave us a review on iTunes if you enjoy us, only if you enjoy us. If you don't enjoy us, then just keep it to yourself.
Oh, no. Again, if you feel that you have to give us a 1, that's more a reflection on you than it is on the podcast.
Maybe, like,
the people are speaking.
Step away and, you know, think about it for a little
bit. These are the people who walked out of Solo and did the wheel. And I'm like, I don't need to talk to you people.
Or just tweet at us instead.
Oh, they do that. Don't even do that.
Just think about what you're going to do and don't do it.
Because I feel bad. I don't know your obligation on this. We're pulling back the curtain, breaking the fourth wall here today.
The man behind the curtain. Is there one?
Yeah, usually.
Okay.
I don't know how you feel about this, but when people take the time to email me or tweet at me, like, I try to respond when I can. And sure. I've always said, look, as long as you're courteous, you can disagree with me. Mm-hmm. But as long as you're not, you know, doing the foul language thing. Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm such an old man with this. But you know what I mean.
Quit cursing.
Get out of the sky, cloud. But, you know, as long as you're not, hey, blankety blank.
Yeah, go blankety blank.
Yeah, and that's my opinion. Like, I'm not, that's not getting a response.
As it shouldn't.
No. On the same foot, though, like, when you take the time to send me stuff, I always feel like, well, I should at least give you an answer. Like, that's what it is. I don't know. Where do you fall on that line?
I think.
And there are some times when we can't answer questions that are asked to us. And that, to me, is, I can't do that. Well, love to give you the answer, but I can't.
Right. I mean, I think in most instances, I feel like really the organization strives for this overall is just trying to have a conversation with fans if and when the opportunity presents itself. But, of course, there are things we can't touch on or just simply don't have knowledge of or, you know, anything like that. So, but I think most of all, we try to answer and have conversations because it is social media.
Heck, you have a tweet mail section.
Yeah.
Even though you answered a regular email question.
You can send tweets.
Thank you, Tijuana Flats.
And you can send emails and they'll be answered on the website.
Yeah.
As long as they're good.
And you can send tweets to us. We have not put it out to the people in a while.
Yeah.
For Twitter questions.
Right. If you have a question you'd like us to discuss on Canes Cast, we're always looking for discussion points.
And to backtrack here on episode 45, backtracking.
Wow, 45.
Yeah. But to backtrack, you asked who are they going to take? Be the Carolina Hurricanes with a number two pick?
Yes.
I will let you know next week on the Canescast.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
Fine.
And that way you don't have to ask. I can just tell you next
week
who they're going to take. Do I know who they're going to take?
Yes.
Or do I know who I think they should take?
Do you know that I know that you know that it's a dodgeball reference?
I know. I understand. I was letting you. Nobody makes me bleed my own blood either.
Exactly. White Goodman.
Thank you. It's touche.
Yeah.
No, I don't know who they're going to take.
I think we'll have a good
discussion.
But I have
a great idea of who it's going
to
be.
Yeah, and I think we'll have a good discussion. We'll kind of carry over the roundtable discussion to the podcast next week because we will have Shane Willis in.
No, you heard that noise. It was down on the floor.
There was a noise. I thought it was behind me, but
no,
apparently it wasn't.
No, you got distracted. Easy. There
you
go.
Oh, it's outside.
Oh, no. Want me to lock the door?
Somebody's coming. We're going to have a surprised guest on Canescast.
Feel safe. There we go. I just locked the door.
The ice is going in
soon. Now you can't
leave.
That's a movie reference, too.
It's pretty hot still in your office, but it's going to be cooler soon because the ice is going in here at PNC Arena, which is – it's always nice to have ice in the building because that means hockey is happening.
Ice is nice.
Ice is nice.
Yet another movie reference for you.
You can't spell nice without ice.
This is true. That's why Michael Smith belongs to the weapon. He's that smart.
And the reason it's going in is because Summerfest. Prospects Development Camp is really the highlight, I guess, of that week, where the 2018 draft class, including the second overall pick, some other top prospects, and maybe a few invitees.
Some prospects from years past.
Yes. Probably Martin Natchez.
I think there's a good chance we'll see Martin Natchez here. When I talked to him earlier this year, he said that he would be coming over, I believe, for Summerfest.
So if you want a look at Martin Natchez, we haven't gotten an in-person look at him since he made his NHL debut in Edmonton in October, which feels like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was, I don't know, 9 months?
That's about right.
So
I was told there'd be no math.
Yeah,
I'm not going to.
I did that quickly. It's probably wrong.
Yeah, we're in June, so like 8 months.
Okay.
Like
I was
early
close.
June. So really
people
more like seven.
Tweet at me if I was wrong.
No,
actually,
don't tweet
don't.
At him. Don't, for goodness sake.
So Prospects Development Camp will be happening here the last week in June, right after the draft. Open practices on that Wednesday and Thursday evening that you can come watch. I believe they begin at 5:30. Have discounted concessions and everything, parking, admission, all free. And then Saturday is the Summerfest celebration, which wraps up the whole week. More on ice stuff around noon-ish, I believe. But the whole thing kicks off at 10 o'clock. There's going to be autographs. There's going to be an equipment sale. There's going to be a State of the Hurricanes discussion.
Hey, we're going to have that again? Are we going to have maybe a round table where you and I are involved in that and Shane and
to be determined.
Guests?
To be determined. I think that's a good opportunity to do a live – our first live edition of Canescast.
All right.
But that's still to be determined. So it should be a good time. Hurricanes.com/Summerfest for all the details on the week. It kicks off, actually, interestingly enough, on that Sunday. So the draft is the 22nd and the 23rd, and Sunday the 24th. If you're a full season ticket member who's paid at least 25% of their season tickets down by, I believe it's that week, you can come and take one shot and try to win your season tickets.
Yep.
And I think
I will be there.
Yeah, you're going to be here.
The early shift for that. Noon until 2.
So,
and you can have a proxy
shoot
for you, but they can have no professional hockey
experience.
But it can't
be Shane Willis or Eric Cole or Rod Brind'Amour.
And I, you know what? I would generally volunteer my services for this, but I want people to win, and I would feel just terrible if I flubbed a shot for
someone. I mean, it's going to be amazing. But even if you subbed in a proxy like Shane Willis, I still think his odds might be just marginally better than other people's. Because, I mean, it's...
Okay, let me just stop you right there.
Okay.
When you say marginally,
like
2%, 5%, or be realistic, be real.
Be real.
It'd probably be more to the average human being who's never shot a hockey puck before, probably more like 50% more.
You think so?
Oh, God, yes.
I mean, from just the standpoint of being able to get the puck down the ice.
Sure. Yes.
Because that's
with
it is
accuracy.
It is 178 feet from the goal line to the goal line.
With accuracy.
And there is some accuracy, but at the same time, I mean, it's a pretty small hole.
Phrasing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's right along the ice, and when the ice gets choppy, it's going to be difficult. Puck's going to be hopping around.
Yeah. I would take the shot for me.
Oh,
but
yeah.
if you told me I could have a professional hockey player do it, absolutely.
Yeah.
Shane, get out here.
I suppose that's true. I just think there's a lot more.
I think you're discounting how tough it is to shoot a puck 178 feet with accuracy for people who have done it maybe never in their life.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. It looks a lot easier than what it is.
I think it looks hard.
It's like golf. For me, golf, this is why I hate golf. And when I say hate, I love it because I play it. But it's why I hate it. The ball doesn't move. It's right there.
It's not like baseball.
Where it's coming at you and does different things. It's right there. I am more confident stepping into a batter's box, even at my advanced age, than I am stepping into the tee box at my not advanced age for golf.
Yeah, I would be interested to see if we, in training camp, put the target on the net and just had the whole team do it. I don't think any of them would make it.
Oh, no.
My money's on none of them making it.
Your money's on none? And I have the rest of the –
yeah.
I just have one?
For one shot, my money's on none of them making it.
We need to make this happen.
I think we do.
And we need to wager something on this. I don't know.
There probably would be one to make it, actually.
Yes.
Because I do think
– I would say – I would be surprised if – Now, how many prospects show up for Summerfest? About 40?
Ooh, I think it's a little smaller. Maybe 30. We'll say 30.
That's fine. All right, say 30.
Yeah.
I'm going to set the bar high. 5 would make it.
Whoa, 5?
Yeah.
Oh, I would take the under on that for sure.
So, what, 5? That's a sixth?
Mm-hmm.
A sixth of the squad would make it. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm taking the under on that.
Okay.
I do hope, and I want to say, I think it might happen for the season ticket members. I hope it does.
I hope it does, too.
Because it's going to be awesome. It's going to be an awesome moment. Baseball does this with home runs, but that, you just have to be, there's no luck involved in that. You've just got to be able to swing a bat and kill the ball, you know?
There's a little bit of luck with a home run.
But,
a little bit. For people who have never done it, there's a little bit of luck.
I think it's more if you're just an average Joe going up there and trying to hit a home run in a major league ballpark, you got to be somewhat skilled.
You got to pull it down the line.
Because
if you hit it to center field, hitting a baseball 400 feet, good luck.
No chance. But I think this, someone could just get lucky.
Yeah. Yes. Oh,
that's
I think
my,
it's going to happen.
That's my point. It's more luck here than it is hitting a home run in baseball.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. Baseball is the hardest thing to do is with a round bat, hit a round ball and make square contact. And like you say,
and
hit it really hard and drive it.
Yeah.
So that's it here. Like you said, I'll be interested to see. I mean, are we going to keep the path? Are we going to bring out the Olympias?
Dry scrape or something?
Yeah, or do a dry scrape? Because if the ice surface gets bumpy, that is going to affect some things. Good
right, because the target is right on the ice. And if that puck, at the last second, it could be on track and it could just hit a little dip and then pop up and that's it.
It's like hitting a putt. If something gets in the way and it pops up the ball, it's going
that's
in the hole
this
now.
This is a really long putt.
Yes. Yes, it is. I hope somebody makes it, though. It'll
I do,
fun.
Too.
And it starts Sunday, a week's worth of great stuff. Michael Smith's coverage for Summerfest, and the prospect camp is unmatched by anybody on planet Earth. You can read all of that at CarolinaHurricanes.com. It's true.
It's very kind.
I believe I'll be adding something to that mix for you.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm usually around asking questions.
Yeah, we'll probably have...
Do a couple of player interviews.
Yeah.
Put them on the old Canes cast.
On the podcast.
So get it all set.
Yep.
We'll find out some of the young guys and their development. I am curious. I haven't seen – I don't think the list has been released yet. I don't think it'll be released until after the draft.
Until after the draft, exactly.
But I will be curious to see if some of the guys who maybe played for the Checkers last year show up, get a little bit of work in.
Maybe one or two.
Yeah, I mean, they had a playoff run. Let's face it. They had an entire Summerfest in one game.
Oh, yeah.
in, I believe it was game number three, the quintuple overtime. So, good times.
Where you were on radio.
Or was that game number four? No, it was game number four.
Yeah, game four. Where you were on radio, not just for one period, like with Chuck, but for basically two games worth.
I was on from the third, first overtime, second, third, fourth, and yeah, pretty much.
Almost two games.
Yes.
Wow.
And Jason Shia, and still a champion for that.
His voice is still recovering from having to talk.
Oddly enough, he has not said a word since the end of game five. He's moved to the top of a mountain where no one is there to talk with him.
It's like Ron Burgundy, but with no voice.
Exactly.
He's in a lighthouse somewhere.
I cannot speak.
Yeah. I am mute. Except he wouldn't say that. Because...
No, yeah, because he's quiet.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for tying that all together, Michael.
Yep.
All right, perfect time for us to segue into.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
So I'll put it out there because I know you don't have one to start.
Correct.
And we haven't solicited from Twitter, so correct, people haven't given it to us. I'll put it out there. Anchorman 2 has funnier scenes than Anchorman 1.
Whoa.
If you like it.
That's a tough one.
I know.
Because both are very funny films. I think the first one is funnier more consistently. But there are some gags in two that are just really, really funny.
I think going back, there are bigger laughs in two than I realized. But I think one is funnier all the way
through. Yeah, it's a more consistent film. They even filmed that. They were able to put a whole, like, outtakes worth of movie together from the footage they filmed from the first one.
Was it Wake Up, Ron Burgundy?
Yeah, and if you've ever seen it, it's insane and wacky and crazy. It's almost the direction that 2 went in that sort of inane, kind of absurd direction. But
say
it's
what?
It's really good. I think I'm going to take that as well because I do think that it is very funny in parts, but it's not as consistently funny as the first one.
Well, no, I asked if 2 was funnier than 1.
Yeah.
So you got to send it back.
Okay, I'll send it back.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We'll just watch the movie afterwards and judge for ourselves.
Sure.
All right. Did that give you time to come up with a question?
Okay.
Because I got a hockey question, too.
Well, we'll throw in some hockey questions. I don't know if this is where you were going, but last week we talked about the Stanley Cup Final.
This is where I was going.
Was Vegas up 1-0?
No, I don't think they had played yet.
Okay, so it was before. Yeah, because it was Monday night was game one, and we recorded it Monday. So since then, the Caps are up 2-1. If you like it, take it. If not, send it right back. The Washington Capitals are going to win the Stanley Cup.
No, we did not record on Memorial Day.
Oh, that's true. We recorded on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So Vegas was up 1-0.
Probably, yeah.
Yes.
So, can you repeat the question?
Yes. If you like it, take it. If not, send it back. The Washington Capitals now up 2-1 will be the 2018 Stanley Cup champion.
I'm going to send it back.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't believe that Vegas played a great game in game number 3 to fall down 2-1, and despite that, they still were in the game and had a chance to tie it and maybe send it to overtime, where that you need a winner because it's the playoffs.
Right.
But there's just something about the Caps in the back of my mind where disaster is 5 seconds away.
Yeah.
And I really thought when Braden Holtby made that terrible error behind the net that led to the Knights' goal in game 3 that he would crumble. He didn't crumble, but that's in the back of my head that's always there with this Caps team, always around the corner. So I will reserve the judgment until game 4 tonight. I just want it to go game 7 because
I think it's got a good chance.
I have never seen a series of two teams with no history against each other. And, you know, Vegas has no history really against anybody. But, I mean, really no history against the Caps. They've only played them twice, and I don't remember anything from those games that would lead me to believe.
They beat them both.
Yeah, but,
both
I
times.
Mean, I don't remember anything where I'm like, oh, there was an incident or
right.
a fantastic finish. Maybe there was, and I'm just spacing on it. But these two teams, I mean, right from game 1, have not liked each other. I hate to do this, even put out a tweet. But the level of animosity that is built up at the time, it was 2.5 games, now 3 games, it's fantastic. And I'm not the advocate of violence here. I'm not going, I didn't want to do the, see what happens when you have guys playing chippy and with an edge. Oh, and it's skilled hockey. That's fun to watch. This series has been fun to watch. It really has been. Coaching staffs do what coaching staffs do. Game one was wildly entertaining. 10 goals were scored. Game two, still entertaining. Mm-hmm. Not 10 goals scored. Mm-hmm. And now we had 4 goals scored in game number 3. So I'll be interested to see what happens tonight.
I think Vegas takes game 4.
I think they do.
And
too.
I think if they do that, they take game 5.
I think they do.
I think Washington takes game 6. And then it's up for grabs in game 7. And I'm going to say Vegas takes it in 7.
I hope you're right.
I hope I am too.
So, and look, it's Cavs fans, it's not a diss on you. I just think this Vegas Golden Knights story is amazing and you will never see it again. So if they're this far, the storybook is they win the whole thing.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and finish it off properly.
Yeah, and then and go from there. But you know what? If the Caps win, great story for Alexander Ovechkin.
Oh, yeah.
One of the and I will admit a guilty pleasure from watching the Stanley Cup Finals for me is watching him go through every range of emotion
yes.
on the bench.
Yes. I mean, you can tell he wants it.
Oh God.
He wants it.
He wants to win. Like there is a lot out there about, and we can go to a lot of folks and their thought process on Russian players and what they're all about and their makeup. There have been a couple that I point to and say, you can't say they're all like this. And Alex Ovechkin is one that you point to. Winning does matter to him. Now, do I think he loves scoring goals more than anything on planet Earth? Absolutely.
Sure.
But winning matters to him. And you need to have the leaders of your team. Winning has to matter more than anything else. Period. Stats, you know, how much money, what car I'm driving, that is all secondary. If your best players, if your leaders are the ones who are living and dying, like Jonathan Toews in Chicago. Jonathan Toews is never happy. I can't imagine what he's like after a loss, let alone after a win. And I kid, but that's what it is. But Ovechkin, Pavel Datsyuk, I think was a guy where winning just mattered more than anything. We can go back into the older times when the Russian players started coming over where you have, you know, Sergei Makarov, Sergei Fedorov, like those guys who came over. That mattered to them because they wanted to show they could be part of winning teams. But there are a lot of Russian players who really, really, they're not that mold, that makeup of, you know, once they get their payday, they're done.
Yeah.
I know that there have been some, and you can point to them as well. But, yeah, Ovi is the guy who I think has kind of shattered that perception that's, oh, well, that's you can't win with that. No, you can win with it. And if he is the guy who's leading the charge that this is what we need to do, I mean, he's blocking shots, for God's sake, in the Stanley Cup Finals. So it's been fun to watch.
It has been fun to watch.
It's been, dare I say, this series is right on that line of dirty hockey?
Yeah, I think that's
right
fair.
On that line?
Right on the line. Sometimes tiptoeing over it.
Sometimes shouldering over it. There is one thing that does drive me crazy. And again, goes back to fans gonna fan. All of the... There needs to be replay on penalties in the finals. And then you get Derek Englund called for a tripping penalty where it wasn't even his stick in crickets.
Right.
Looking at you, Caps Twitter.
Well, and I mean, not to bring basketball back into it. I know we did that last week.
Oh,
but
you can do it again. The LeBron block charge.
LeBron,
yeah.
Like, when you slow it down, it is probably going to look like a block. But when you, but it wasn't. It was, I think, clearly a charge. But if you slow it down enough, sure, you can make an argument for whatever.
If you've ever played, I would hate to do this. If you've ever played basketball, like I think at the high school level, like where it's competitive, freshman, JV, certainly varsity, and then climb up the ranks, or a competitive AAU, when you take a charge, you are going to move.
Right.
Like your body is just going to move. It's the what are your feet doing for me? That's always been the measurement. Just like in the NHL, lots of these calls – where people lose their mind over, oh, you know, and that happens everywhere. If the home team does it, it's not a penalty. If the road team does it, it is a penalty. It's the same play. It's the exact same play. We've seen that a lot in the finals. You see it a lot, and I get it. Home crowd, you want your guys to get the power play.
Yes.
Absolutely. But that, to me, is one of those things where you can't have gray areas in a rule book And the NBA has done it with the block charge thing. Mm-hmm. The NHL has done it with so many things. Thank goodness we haven't had an offsides on a goal.
Yeah. Yep.
Like a lengthy offsides on a
right.
goal. So, but we'll go back the other night. Goaltender interference. That, to me, is a gray area. I thought for sure as soon as I saw the replay, I'm like, no, Devontae Smith-Pelly ran into Marc-Andre Fleury. That shouldn't be a goal.
Yep.
And then people are debating, well, I don't know. You know, he's not in the blue paint. Well, the goalie was, and he made contact with him. So something had to hit him.
Yeah.
So
you slow it down enough in any sport, I think you could make an argument for anything.
Yeah.
And that's the drawback of replay. I understand why it exists. And to an extent, I do like that it exists, because if we're trying to get it right, then let's get it right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like in the basketball game, the official's instinct was that it was a charge. I think two of them even said that it was a charge.
Yep.
Then they went back and looked at it, and they reversed the call. So
I like replay, because if we have the ability to make a wrong call
right,
that's great.
Exactly.
But not every play in the course of a game should be subject to replay, especially when they are – block charge, you can say this is the rule book on it, but it's a gray area. There's certain things where I don't like that it can be replayed. And if you've got an official making a call on the ice that it's goalie interference, the original call should be the call. And I know you can say, oh, well, we should be able to overturn it. Those, to me, it's like holding in the National Football League on the offensive line. The NFL actually did it right. They're like, we can't review something that is subject to so much interpretation. It's just going to happen. We're just going to review touchdowns and catches. And then they had to go and screw up because we don't know what a catch is anymore. But here, I think it's really simple. The NHL should make it really simple. If a puck crosses a line, was it a goal? Wasn't it a goal? I mean, that's where I want that. Baseball, you're safer out. I mean, that to me is the whole thing. Like, I've hated the people who goes, oh, when are balls and strikes going to be called next? They're not. That's why you can't argue balls and strikes
right.
with an umpire. It is his... It's supposed to be uniform, but not everybody is 6 foot with the exact same strike zone.
Correct. And they're all human. They all see things differently.
Exactly.
Just like officials. Like, and the game is so quick these days that things are going to get missed.
Yeah.
Things are going to get miscalled, like the England trip.
Oh, I know.
And it happens.
I know. And that's the other part you have to live with. Like, missed calls are part of sports history.
That is what makes sports... sports,
yeah.
Because they're humans participating in them, and that includes the officials.
Yes. They try. The amazing thing to me about officiating, if we put a number on it, which is unfair, would we say 90% of the time, or maybe even higher?
Yeah.
90% of the time, the officials are right.
Yeah. Probably even higher.
But when they're wrong, it's the worst thing in the world. How does this happen?
It's
these
that
are terrible
part that
officials.
Gets put under the microscope.
And
it's the same thing with quarterbacks or goalies or, you know, whatever. Like, it's those
times. Yeah, like,
times
you can have a 925 save percentage, but you're garbage because you're letting in .075.
Yeah.
But I wish it would be like weathermen. You can say whatever you want to say.
True.
Nobody's ever mad at the weatherman anymore.
No.
It is going to be hot and sunny. Okay, well, I'm in the middle of a deluge, and it's 65 degrees. How'd you miss this one? Well, the pleats. Okay, thanks.
It's the pleats.
It's the pleats. Thank you. Appreciate
go
that.
Go to the pants store right now.
But, weathermen don't F. Yeah. They need to be, like, 63% right, and people love them.
Well, it's like a batting average. Like, if they're at 333, they're great.
Oh, I know. But back to officiating. Doesn't mean that there's some games that aren't officiated terribly. I mean, I've seen bad officiated games.
Just like teams are going to have games where they don't play well. They play poorly.
But I don't know about you and for the people who are listening in here on Canes Cast. Yes, it's episode 45. As long as it's consistent.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to let it go, then we let it go the whole way through. Even though it should be in the books, and you should call it what the books say. Just like I think you talked about it the other day, or I overheard your conversation. But if you call it in the first period, call it in the third. None of this. Well, it's the last 3 minutes of the game.
Right. Just call it like the books say. Be consistent one way or the other, and just above
ever,
all, just enjoy the game.
Have you ever officiated like a basketball game or a baseball? Umped a baseball game.
I officiated roller hockey like way back when.
Okay, so. I used to, in college for, you know, it's college, so pick up a little extra cash. I was an official. And we would get the teams right at center court. And we'd get the captains. And me and one of the guys who I worked with, one of my buddies from college, Brian North, outstanding. He was an official, too. Brian was the lead official, and he would go, all right, guys, what do you want? And they go, what do you mean? And then I'd go, do you want us to call everything, or do you want to play? And, you know, when we say let you play, we'll let some of the ticky-tack stuff go. And we'd let the two captains would talk about it, and they're like, no, call everything. And we're like, okay, that's what we'll do. And that's it. And that's all I think any athlete wants to know. From the beginning of the game, is this what we're going to have to the end of the game?
Yeah.
And that's it. And I remember there was one time I let something go, and I could have called a foul. And the kid, you know, it's college kids, reffing college kids, and he started yelling at me. I go talk to your captain. He agreed with it. He said he didn't want to stop and play for all this. And he goes, does that mean I can do it? I go, well, if I'm looking at it, I didn't call it here. Why am I going to call it there? I go, but don't take it over the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he took it over the line.
Well,
I had to call.
Then you're going
to
get a foul.
And then I called him. So.
Yeah, I think above all, just enjoy the game.
That's it.
I mean, it's such good hockey that's being played right now that let's not fret about a call that happened here or didn't happen here. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I understand that. I mean, even back in the when the Hurricanes were in the Stanley Cup final, Game 7, when a goal that should have been probably a goal wasn't called and NBC's cameras were able to zoom in on it and show that it probably should have been a goal. Oh, they ended up winning.
Yeah. It finds a way of evening out. It really does.
Yep.
And you're right about this series. This has been a fun series. It's three games and it's been fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that there's no skin in the game. For me, I can just sit back and watch it and enjoy it. And it's been – this, to me, has been one of the more standout Stanley Cup finals in a while. The NHL playoffs always delivers, Michael, always. Mm-hmm. But this one is up there. And, I mean, I hate to do the compare and contrast because I like basketball. I like the NBA. But the NBA finals, we all know how that's going to play out.
Unfortunately.
I don't know how the Stanley Cup finals is going to play out.
Nope. I think it could go either way.
We've already said that. Yep. I hope it goes seven. This to me, a game seven in Vegas would be amazing.
Vegas is going to be in some trouble if they go down 3-1 tonight, for sure.
Which, where do we stand on the open for Vegas? Because that has been a point of contention for a lot of people.
Oh, I love it. I think we discussed it last week.
But
yeah.
No, now that we've officially gone through it. And
love it.
Hey, man, Pat Sajak.
I love Pat Sajak.
I wish I could take credit for this, a consonant professional.
That's good.
His Wheel of Fortune. Yep. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
But like, don't try to one up Vegas. Michael said it best.
Yeah,
let Vegas do what Vegas is going to do. And people are like, I wish you wouldn't start at 8:49 at night. You know what? I wish there were day baseball games in the World Series.
Yeah,
but just for me, just enjoy it because you know that's what Vegas has literally done this all year. And for the finals, I was expecting even more. I was expecting a man on a horse and Michael Smith with a trident.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm expecting more pyrotechnics than a Kiss concert.
Almost.
Almost.
Not quite, though.
But that's what I'm expecting.
Yeah. No, I love
it. For Vegas, for Washington, come out.
Washington?
Have two soldiers or two members of the armed forces sing the national anthem, which was awesome. What Michael Smith said. The Web's Michael Smith. That's why he belongs to us all. Cities, you do you.
You do you.
In Vegas is cheesy productions.
Yeah, it's over the top. It's ridiculous. It's cheesy. But that's Vegas.
But it's also, it finds a way to be entertaining.
Right.
So
it's a little show before the show, if you will.
Yeah, why not? And again, they're trying to bring a little something to the sport that, you know, it's been this way forever, and I love it.
Well, it's a
Why
little
are you changing it?
Personality, almost.
I don't want to hear personalities from you, Michael Smith.
Yeah.
Back in my day, we used to have to cut down a tree. The puck was a rock. We had to take the steak knives out of our parents' drawers for skates. And that's the way it should be played forever.
Those skates were probably real bad, huh?
Yeah. You have to imagine. But like those guys who just sit there and complain. You know, they complain just to do it. And, folks, if you're not enjoying this Stanley Cup final, I don't know what makes you happy. Go look at the Pacific Ocean, will you?
That would make anybody happy.
I know that makes
Especially
you happy.
When the sun It's a magical
thing. Magic
hour?
When
the sun goes down, just as it does every single day, 365 days a year, we still marvel over the fact that it continues to do that.
But what it creates.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Spectacular.
Yeah. Can't beat it.
No, you can't. Is there anything else that you want to get to? We've both seen Solo now, so
yep.
We're about 2 weeks away from being able to comment on it.
Yep, so go see it.
I just want people to calm down about Star Wars movies. Just calm down. Just like the Stanley Cup Final. Just enjoy it.
Just enjoy it. That's going to be the title of episode 45.
Episode
just enjoy
45.
It.
Exactly. I think we found it right
here. I
think
so.
Episode 45. Just enjoy it.
Yep. We'll come back with a full discussion in a couple of weeks once everybody's had the time to see it and digest it.
Think that some people are staying away because of the folks who have bashed it or it's not Harrison Ford. Well, no kidding. It's not Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford's like 80.
Right. He can't play a 20-year-old now.
I'm just, again, I need to double check that. I really think Harrison Ford is 80.
They could put a wig on him, but it still wouldn't make much of a difference.
Yeah, he's still a little old.
There's only so much movie magic you can do to de-age somebody. Unless it was like Benjamin Button, where they...
75.
Close enough.
75.
Round up, he's 80.
I mean, but look, you can't have Harrison Ford play a 19-year-old.
No.
Or...
That would
16
be a
year
feat
old,
of
whatever
cinematography.
They did bring back Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yes, they did.
For Rogue One, I believe, right?
To mixed reviews.
It's CGI. It's only going to look so human.
Yeah.
So
I thought it looked great. I don't think if you would have told me that, like I knew going in that he was CGI, so obviously you pick up on certain things, but... If someone didn't know, I don't know if they would have.
Do I score nerd points for knowing what his official title was?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we'll give you some.
Good. I mean, I feel I've been losing my credit.
I also think it
would have
been fine if they just would have recast him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there would have been any harm in that.
No, I don't disagree with that. But
especially with how big of a role they gave him.
Yeah.
Because they recast the voice and everything. So.
Yeah, but it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to look like Peter Cushing.
Right.
And, I mean, you were only trying to go back 5 years-ish.
Yeah.
Not even a year, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were trying to match up pretty much with that timeline of when we first saw him. And did we see him in Star Wars?
That's the only time we saw him. Because, he wasn't coming back from that one, Michael.
No. Nope. And he's the actor who played him is no longer with us.
Yes.
So
he's been gone for some time.
Yes.
All right. Well, I don't know if that does it. Is there anything else? Anything else you want to hit on? Hockey-wise?
I think we pretty much covered it.
All right. I can't wait till we start getting into more of the this is what we know, this is where we're at.
Yeah, it's kind of a slow time for the Hurricanes just because there is that sort of period between the end of the season and the draft where not a whole lot happens.
Yep.
And in a couple of weeks, we're going to have everything happening. We're going to have the draft. We're going to have schedule. We're going to have Summerfest. We're going to have
An assistant coach, I think, will be named soon.
An assistant coach. We're going to have free agency. We're going to have the NHL awards will be the week of the draft. So, and I think that'll be about the year anniversary where we started Canes Cast. We started it right around the draft last year. I'll have to look back at the date.
If you think about it, 52 weeks is a year. We've done 45 episodes, but we've taken a week or two off here.
Took a week or two off. We're close. We're close to that one-year anniversary.
I'm sure we can go and find out. All we have to do is go on the internet and find out the first day it was posted.
Hurricanes.com/CanesCast.
Well done. Or at the iTunes store or Google Play.
Yes, both very fine digital stores.
Indeed.
Depending on which device you own.
All right. Well, we'll hold back a little for next week and as we get closer to the draft.
Shane Willis joins us next week.
Yes!
At least that's the plan. If he doesn't, it's his fault.
No, he'll join us.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of role he'll have, but he'll join us.
He'll
be fine.
Yep.
Well, that was a reach there, Mike. I don't know about that.
All right. So that'll do it. For the web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
We will talk to you next week as we will be at the Raleigh Beer Gardens.
See you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you.